This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Morning Run. In the meantime, we're turning our attention to the country's healthcare system because the COVID-19 pandemic has clearly put a strain on it in multiple ways. Not only have public hospitals and medical staff been working round the clock to tend to COVID-19 cases, but the focus on COVID-19-related illnesses has also meant that other routine surgeries and medical treatments have been postponed for the last 2 years.
According to the Health Minister, Khairiyyah Jamaluddin, this has resulted in a backlog of over 50,000 cases at public hospitals. There are estimates that suggest it would take a year to clear the backlog of cases. To help alleviate the burden of the public healthcare system, the Association of Private Hospitals of Malaysia, or APHM, has suggested that private hospitals step in to treat government patients.
Joining us to explain how this arrangement can work, we speak to Dr. Kuljit Singh, President of APHM. Good morning, Dr. Kuljit. Now, from your observation, what kind of treatments have been delayed or postponed due to the pandemic that have resulted in this massive backlog?
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me in this talk today morning. I think we have seen this in the past, that there are cases which are not in emergency, but they're elective cases that sometimes are delayed to make way to more emergent, to cases which need urgent care in a government setting. So these are the cases that sometimes get delayed over and over again. And there are patients that we know, they have been waiting for months together to get themselves treated. So the government works in a very efficient way to clear patients. They go according to priority. Patients who really require surgery early, things like cancer, things like emergencies like bleeding and such kind of cases that come to the emergency are cleared very soon. But that results, patients who are not emergency but they require a procedure, these patients end up waiting for a long time. So we in private hospitals, we have the capacity and capability of treating these patients for the government so that they do not have to wait that long anymore for their procedure to be sorted out. And I think this is something that we can actually step up and help the government.
So can you flesh out this proposed public-private collaboration, that was to be implemented? How do you propose the private hospitals to help, in managing this backlog then? Just articulate that a bit for us, please. Thanks.
Okay. This is something that we have already done during the pandemic. Last year, during the decanting exercise, we had actually cleared patients who were already admitted in the government hospital so that government hospitals could cater to the COVID patients. So that formula has already been tried out and it has worked out quite well, particularly in the Klang Valley, Penang, Johor, where the numbers of patients were quite high as far as COVID was concerned. So we looked after patients who were actually in the ward waiting for treatment. And that formula worked very well. And I think we're just going to extend this formula to the patients right now who are actually in the house, who are waiting for treatment, who are waiting to be treated for surgery. So it is just an extension of what something we've already done.
Okay, but Dr. Kuljit, private sector healthcare always costs more than what's being offered in the public healthcare sphere. So who would bear the cost under this public-private arrangement?
Okay, this payment is entirely paid by the government. So what the government does is they buy services from the private sector, private hospitals. The patients do not pay anything. Now, the thing is, the patient will have to get the whole referral comes from the government. So patient cannot walk to a private hospital and say, look here, I want to be treated and let the government pay for it. No, it's not going to work that way. The government hospital, i.e. here, the government doctor who's treating you, will then decide, I think you can be treated in private. And then the patient is sent from the government hospital to the private hospital, and then the reimbursement is made directly by the government to the private hospital. When I say reimbursement, these are the reimbursements that are actually agreed upon. There is a contract between the government and the private hospital on the amounts that can be reimbursed. So it all depends on the type of case, whether the case is going to be a complicated case and what kind of treatment the private hospital is going to give. So it is all agreed upon. So the patient doesn't need to worry about this because this is all between the government and the private hospital.
Okay, that's good to know, Dr. Kojit. But I'm curious, has this agreement already been signed between you and the government? And, you know, how many private hospitals are going to participate in this scheme?
Okay, in the last exercise when we did during the decanting exercise, there were about close to 119 over private hospitals that participated in this exercise. So there were agreements between these 119 private hospitals with selected government hospitals. And to my knowledge, there were about 49 or 50 government hospitals that signed this contract with these various different private hospitals. So it is just an extension to that. There might be newer contracts between the public and the private hospitals. So in the contract, it stipulates very clearly the do's and don'ts and also the mechanism, how the transfers will be done. So now, it is already an ongoing process. It's not something very new.
Now, let's just turn our attention to the booster jab program. I think we saw some data recently. More than 40% of adults have been boosted. And I think very much so mobilized by the private sector practitioners, right? Are you happy with the efficiency and effectiveness of the rollout?
I think the efficiency part is quite good, in the sense that the private hospitals in particular, some of the private hospitals already have our own PPVs within our hospital. And we get a listing from the government through MySujatra, through another portal which is linked to MySujatra, and tells us, okay, these are the 100 patients that are going to come to your hospital for the booster. And they appear, and then we give the booster quite seamlessly. So far, we do not have any issues as far as private hospitals are concerned. Not every private hospital participates in this, but they are the ones that participate. They're quite happy. And many of these people who get their booster shots are actually our patients, because they are sent within the region. We don't find any difficulties in doing this booster dosages. I think it's quite seamless, better than what we had in the first and the second dosage, because things were not so clear at that point of time.
But at the same time, right, we've seen considerable outrage over reports that some private medical practitioners have been involved in falsifying vaccination dosing and certificates. While it doesn't affect the private hospitals, do you think there are gaps in the oversight of vaccine distribution in the private sector then?
Well, I think, as you correctly say, we don't see that happening in private hospitals. I've not heard any report where a private hospital is falsifying these certificates. I believe it is a bit isolated when it comes to the practitioners, and I think the public should also be educated that please do not indulge in this kind of activity by asking doctors or going and looking for how best can you get a false certificate. I think it's both ways. If you don't have the public asking for this, then you don't have doctors doing this. Yeah, it is very wrong on both parties, and I think both should be punished, because it is like cheating the system, cheating yourself, and also cheating the others, being in the community with a fake certificate, and I think that's not very good. Authorities are going very hard on practitioners who are doing this, and I think authorities will also go very hard on people who resort to fake certificates.
Yeah.
And I think punishment should be taken out. And of course, some sort of check and balance needs to be done on this.
Dr. Kojit, do you think these doctors involved in this fake vaccination certificate should be struck off the list?
Yeah, I think it is ethically wrong. And of course, more than ethics, it is a code of conduct of a doctor falsifying anything, not just a certificate certificate as far as vaccination is concerned. I mean, to me, this is a code of conduct. So definitely, when this is brought to the Malaysian Medical Council, they will definitely face disciplinary action once it's proven that such activity was conducted by this practitioner. So I think the police is now looking into these cases, and I think once that is solved, it will definitely go to the Malaysian Medical Council.
Okay.
So my advice to the public is please do not resort to this kind of it.
All right.
It's not right.
Very good advice. And that was Dr. Kojit Singh, president of APHM, who has given us invaluable advice. Don't go down that path.
Yeah, definitely. And he also made a very interesting point that it's so important to get this public-private sector collaboration going. Because, you know, right, you're right, the government has a prioritization, right? And of course, they would do the emergency procedures there. But there are a lot of procedures that also should be addressed now because there are consequential health outcomes if it's delayed. So let's hope they basically have a structured, sustainable connective system to do that.
Because otherwise, you know, you might have a domino effect and then the healthcare system might be even more strained in the future.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.